We saw in Os Dalin when Yona writes V'yesh Ovon, excuse me, Ashelo Tina. Sorry, Ashelo Tinaka Hanefesh Mimenu Ubilti Tahorahi Ve'ena Ritzuya Ada Shahamodas Yafid Beina Uvena Guf Ashokoto Bo. Kemoshi Yesh Choli Shelo Yinaka Haguf Mimenu Kol Hayomer. Vehu Oven Chil Hashem Shenemer Vehine Sosam Vesimcha Horog Boko Ushkot Tzon. Ki Vehoyu Mashkicha Maldivi Hanaviyim Velo Charedim Aleihem Aval Hoyu Kovim Begoloi Vehakel Chavim Vemine Simcha. ונאמר על זה מחופה האובן לעזב לכם עד תמוסון ונאמר ואים עליבים במהלך ההורקים ובאוזן דבר מסעתם בנביא ועד על עוס חמאס השם באף לא ולעד מעין מרפא. ובן עיון קינטיניוס וגם לחולי הזה אף אותי שאין לו מרפא על דרך שעור האבנוס יימצא לו מרפא אם יעזבהו השם יזבח לקדש תרסה נגד בני אדם ולהודיע לבני האדם גבורס השם וכבוד האדם על חוסה וסור אבונו ברוב גודל כישרון המייסה שהוא בהפך מן המייסה של נועל והשלחות בו כמה מהרופם על חולי הגוף כי יירפא בהופכו Earlier, I think maybe this was, we had skipped around a little bit last week, so I think we had skipped, I don't think we read this together. In the end of Oz Beis, after Ben Yonah had described that the Psalm Averos require Yisurim, in order to have the full refuah, the full kapara. So at the end of Uzbeh, the Ben Yon had said, V'yesh eitza v'takona l'choti v'maisim tovim l'hagin olav min ha'machogim kashi yizbo'er. That's what he was referring back to here when he said, well, Ben Yon holds that even within the chiluke kapara, with Chazal, speak of the need for Yisurim, where Chazal say in the instance of Chil Hashem Achmanu Hatzlan that full kapara is only with Misa. In each of these cases, Rabbeinu Yonah says that there is a substitute, there is an equivalent which can happen. There is a substitute for Yisurim. Again, we'll see it in greater detail later when Adonai is Hashem. And even by Chil Hashem, when Chazal say that there is no refuah, which for Rabbeinu Yonah, again, refuah in this context means the refuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows, the full kapara, even that only means through normal channels. Through the normal channels which can affect refuah v'kapara for every other chait, so Chilul Hashem has no is ain lo marpe, but that there is a substitute short of Yom Hamisa Rachmanu Litzlan for kapara on Chilul Hashem. The Rambam, you don't find any of these equivalences. And the Rambam quoted the end of Parak Aleph Hilchos Tshuva that Chilul Kapara, that there's no indication of either of these equivalences, either in terms of the substitute for Yisurim or in terms of Kiddush Hashem as a source of refuah for Chilul Hashem. But Rabbeinu Yonah has it. What does Rabbeinu Yonah mean when he writes here again in Osei that Yimotze lo marfei im ye'azrehu Hashem yizbarach lekadesh tarasam? In what sense that this Kiddush Hashem requires Siyata Deshmaya more than everything in life? obviously on one level, everything in life requires siyata d'shamayim. For a person to keep breathing and keep living and keep existing, requires siyata d'shamayim. Everything requires siyata d'shamayim. For a person to have the health, to function, to be productive, to do, to study, everything is siyata d'shamayim. And yet clearly the sun added dimension of siyata d'shamayim here with regard to Kiddush Hashem, which is why Rabbeinu Yonah is highlighting it here. So what's that added dimension of siyata d'shamayim? So let's backtrack for a second. When Rabbeinu Yonah quoting from the Chazal and Yuma that he's about to quote more fully in Oz Vav, that Chil Hashem has no complete kapara until Ad Temusun. So the Rambam tells us initially in Sefer Mitzvot, and then he has it again in Perikei Misadei Torah, that there are three types of Kiddush Hashem and conversely Chil Hashem. The first type of Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem, is when there's a Chiyuv Yehoi Vayavo. If the person is Mekayim, that Chiyuv Yehoi Vayavo, how is it Kiddush Hashem? And if the person is Mevatel, that Chiyuv Yehoi Vayavo, he's over Ve'enu Nereg, is how is it Chil Hashem? So that's one type of Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem. Another type of Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem, you know, all these are based on Gemaras, but I'm going to just put them together. The Gemaras are all in different places. The second type of Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem that the Rambam has is if a person is mekayim a mitzvah without any ulterior motive, just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do the mitzvah. He's not focused on the schar, he's not focused on what people will think and what people will say. He's doing it just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do it. So then, that's a Kiddush Hashem. Conversely, if a person doesn't have any, there's no hana'ah forthcoming from the Avera. There's no benefit to him for doing the Avera. He does the Avera anyway, so that, Rahman al-Tzlan, is the Chilul Hashem. And then the third class or category of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem that the Rambam has is when a person does something that reflects on Torah. Because of his status, the Rambam describes it in terms of an Odom Godel v'Torah, Umeforsim v'Chasidus. So, because of this person's A, stature in Torah, B, reputation, so what he does reflects on Torah. Sometimes as Bizman Hazeh, we all have that. Bizman Hazeh, that Shomei Torah Mitzvahs is such a small percentage of Kal Yisrael. So we all have this status of representing Torah. Once upon a time, Dvaran Kitikunan, when everyone was Shomei Torah Mitzvahs, so then the God of the Torah, Mufosim B'Chasidus, he represented Torah. Now that we're such a small percentage, Shomei Torah Mitzvahs are such a small percentage of Kal Yisrael. We all represent Torah. So we're all held to this standard of realizing that what we do reflects on Torah. So a person does things, Dvarim Shehavrios Meraninos Achara Bishvilim. He sets people talking about his behavior, how his behavior is unbecoming, how his behavior is substandard. So then that's a Chil Hashem. But conversely, if he goes the Fnim Yishur Sadin and he inspires and commands respect and affection, so then that creates a Kiddush Hashem. Then there's yet another type of Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem, that the Rambam doesn't mention in Perikei Yisodei HaTorah, but you have elsewhere in Mishnah Torah, and that's Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem le'enei ha'goyim. Sugim Yecheskel say, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exiled Klal Yisrael, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, is all of Chilul Hashem. Be'emor Am Hashem Eile U'me'artzam Yatzo'u. So what type of, when Chazal say that Chilul Hashem stands out from amongst the Chilukei Kapara, and is the one Avera for which there's no full Kapara, no complete Kapara until Yom HaMisah? So which type of Chilul Hashem are Chazal talking about? Are they talking about all of them? Which type of Chilul Hashem are we talking about? Let's go back to Oz Dalit at least and try to figure out in Rabbeinu Yonah if there's any indication. I'm not sure about if everything we're about to say is correct. I don't know, but let's see. Shenema v'hine sosim v'simcha parot bokor v'shachotzon. So it certainly got nothing to do with the Chilul Hashem of Yehoi Bar Yava, right? That's certainly not the Meduba here. The Chilul Hashem of Yehoi Bar Yava. I don't know whether it neatly aligns with any of the categories we set up. Rabbeinu Yonah Bechorah is describing, maybe it's sort of to a degree aligns with the Rambam's second category, a total disregard for Devar Hashem, Kovim Begoloi, that they steal openly. A total disregard. The Hakel Chaverim again, B'mine Simcha. V'yu Malivim B'malachi Halokim, U'bozen Dvarim Misatim B'Neviyah. There's a total disregard for Devar Hashem. But it's a disregard which plays itself out in public. Kovim begoloi, and then v'hakel chaverim. So the Chilul Hashem is clearly a Chilul Hashem b'rabim that Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about. And again, the substance of the Chilul Hashem, which is b'rabim, seems to be this complete disregard for Dvar Hashem. That the Chilul Hashem is Barabim So then maybe what Aven Yonah means is as follows. A person can sort of with the routine, call it Siyata Dishmaya, live a life which is devoted to and ideals of Kiddush Hashem. His behavior is impeccable. His integrity is stellar. So who knows it? I don't know. You know, people in his Dalamas know it. That a person is ever in a position to create a Kiddush Hashem b'farhesya. So Yitachen, again, so maybe it happens with a Hesed just cumulatively. Every day he interacts with 3, 5, 7 people, so over the course of a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, so that's a lot of people. Okay, so then, I don't know, that doesn't really, if that also qualifies for the L'kaddish Taras and Neged B'nei Adam, so then, I don't know, we're remaining B'tzarachiyim about why Aven Yonah is highlighting the Ya'azveyu Hashem. But if Aven Yonah also means, I'm not sure that he does, honestly, but if he also means that Yim Ya'azveyu Hashem L'kaddish Taras and Neged B'nei Adam, that he means that to do something in the presence of many, many people, well, not that a person ever has that opportunity in life. A person can go through life and not be not have such an opportunity. Many years ago, there was in Boston a Orthodox businessman. He was nifter not that long ago. So the obituaries all referred back to this. So maybe you read about it. The event itself was I don't know how many years ago, but it was probably before your day. I don't remember enough. He owned a factory, and called the Malden Mills. It's a suburb of Boston. And there was a fire in the factory, natural causes, and it burnt down. And even though he was more or less retirement age, so first of all, A, he said that he was going to rebuild the factory, and so all his workers would have a job when he, and in addition, he committed to and did, and he paid them their salary, even while there was no work for them to do because the factory had been burnt down, and he paid for their medical insurance, all out of his own pocket. That they weren't working because there was no work to be done until the factory was rebuilt. I forget who was president then, but whoever it was had him as a guest at the next State of the Union, address before Congress. And then when he was interviewed, and the reporters asked him why he was doing that, he said that when he was a kid, his father said, "Don't pick out this one." And he learned that this is the way you're supposed to behave. So it was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. It was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But lav davka that a person ever has such an opportunity in life. Right? But even if the person has would take advantage of the opportunity when presented, lav davka with that the routine, what we call sort of the routine or the standard siyata d'shmaya with which we go through life, lav davka that the person ever has that opportunity. So I don't know, maybe that's what Aven Yonah means, that the magnitude of Kiddush Hashem will require Yazer Hashem. Because Baruch Hu has to orchestrate that he's going to be put in a position of where he has an opportunity to be Mekadosh Taras or Negev and Eradim. Maybe that's what it means. And maybe that would answer, if that's correct, I'm not sure that it is, but if that's correct, maybe that would answer a different difficulty as well here in Rabbeinu Yonah. Kamama Harofim, again, a few lines into Osei here, Rabosa, if you see it, Kamama Harofim al Koli Haguf, ki Yerofe Behotcho, Vehela Aruchaso Bismaraso. That the way to cure sickness is with the opposite. So what cures Chilul Hashem is Kiddush Hashem. But remember last week we noticed that Rabbeinu Yonah, unlike the Rambam, says that the refuah of which the Pesukim speak is not the tshuva itself, but is the refuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows after the person does tshuva. Right? We noted that and discussed that a little bit last week. So over here, it's the person who's being the Kaddish and Shemayim. So how is Rabbeinu Yonah, given that for Rabbeinu Yonah, the refuah is after the tshuva from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's always on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's how he presented it initially. Uveshud Rasha Midarko Hara'a Yerape Hashem Yizbar Choli HaNefesh HaChotes. Now all of a sudden, it seems like in the context of this, that the person is the one who's the source of the refuah, because it's the Kiddush Hashem that the person's making, which is the refuah for the Chilul Hashem. But Lidvarenu, Yitachein, that, no, on the one hand, the person is the one who's doing the Kaddish Hashem Shemayim, but on the other hand, that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled the strings. He orchestrated that the person be given that opportunity to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. I know what it is, if that's what it means.
Can you explain again how it
gets into the Lashon? What's difficult about the Lashon here is that if we just read this line here in Os Hei without knowing what we had seen earlier, so we would have thought that when we speak of refuah in conjunction with tshuva, that it's the tshuva itself which is the refuah, that the person himself is merape atzma. Yet we saw last time clearly that that wasn't how Rabbeinu Yonah understood. That's not how it was presented in the beginning of Asala. That was the Shitasa with the Rambam in learning Pshat in the Pasuk in Adla and Marpe. And yet in this sentence it sounds like that the person's Kiddush Hashem is the Refuah. That's the question. So the answer we're suggesting is that the Fimash and Nizba'er, so the Kiddush Hashem that happens, on the one hand is Masa Adam, but on the other hand it's simultaneously Masa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it wasn't sort of in the normal course of events. HaKadosh Baruch Hu staged things that the person be given this opportunity. So on that level, it's not the person's act of Kiddush Hashem, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's act. So on that level, the refuah which emerges from that is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So, I mean, why does he say the Lashon of Yerapeh? I mean, he should have said that Hashem's doing the refuah, but Hashem's on doing that and stuff.
So we're saying, in light of the fact that it only happened because of Ya'azrei HaShem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the refuah. In light of the fact that this only happened because Ya'azrei HaShem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one doing the refuah. Maybe.
Isn't this the refuah happening before the
tshuva
as opposed to the
shavarafe? No, this is after the tshuva. Meaning, what's left after the person does tshuva for the chilul Hashem is that he's still left again with the residual of the chait, and the same way the yisurim come after the tshuva, the korban comes after the tshuva, Yom Kippurim comes after the tshuva. So too, this is also coming after the tshuva. this idea that we're talking about in a very sort of specialized sense, the siyata d'shmaya that a person has to, again, in this context, to be mekadesh shem shamayim berabim, the Sfas Emes has this idea in a much broader sense. The Sfas Emes comments, I think the pasuk, I'm not sure if I'm quoting it verbatim accurately, that l'cha Hashem hatzaka hachesed v'ato tishalim le'ish k'ma'aseihu. So how does the pasuk go exactly? Ato, what's the beginning of the pasuk? Ato tishalim le'ish k'ma'aseihu. What's the beginning of the pasuk? Ulcha Hashem Chasid Ki Ata Tishalayim L'Ishkan Asayim. Okay, Ulcha Hashem Chasid Ki Ata Tishalayim L'Ishkan Asayim. Ki Ata, okay. Ulcha Hashem Chasid Ki Ata, Ki is that, I think. Ulcha Hashem Chasid Ki Ata Tishalayim L'Ishkan Asayim. So the Sfas Emes is asked, why is that a Chasid? Ata Tishalayim L'Ishkan Asayim. That's Midas Adin. A person does a mitzvah, he gets schar. That's a Midas Adin. A person, Gosh Baruch Hu, gives us something which is beyond our ma'asim, so that's chesed. So the Sfas Emes answers as follows. The marshal is adding the marshal to the Sfas Emes. Let's say a person gives a certain amount to tzedakah, gives $100 to tzedakah. Okay. So the marshal gives him schar, however the rabbi determines what the schar should be for $100 to tzedakah. That's what the rabbi gives him. Where did the person get the $100 in the first place? Who gave him $100? How do you have $100 to be able to give to tzedakah? So that gufa was from a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that the person had the money to give to tzedakah was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you would think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a chelik in the mitzvah. The person can't claim full credit for doing the mitzvah. Yeah, the person, he wrote the check, he gave $100 to tzedakah. But he can't really claim full credit for doing the mitzvah. So Sfas Emes says, oh, that's the pshat. V'cha Hashem ha'chasid ke'ata t'shalem le'ish k'ma'asehu, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really a shutaf in whatever we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a schar k'ma'asehu. He gives a schar for the entire mitzvah, as though we were the full owners and solely responsible for the mitzvah. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us schar. Okay, so we're talking about something which is a much more specialized and dramatized form of that. And the Sfas Emes says the Emes is b'zeiranpin in a less dramatic sense, and to a different degree. It's always true. It's always true that every Rav Shalom is a shutaf in every mitzvah. The specialized form that Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about is sort of b'chinas what Mordechai says to Esther, "Uliyodeim la'es kazos higat l'malchus." Lav dafka that it happens in a person's lifetime. Lav dafka that it happens. But if it does, so a person has to have the sensitivity to recognize that by being placed in this extraordinary set of circumstances, that means that there's also an extraordinary opportunity for the person to, in terms of how the person reacts. The nafkamina being, as is clearly the case there in Megillas Esther, Mordechai is telling Esther, you can't have a sense of being inadequate for the moment if you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you here for this moment. In some cases, no, a person is supposed to look at a challenge and say, no, that's not, those aren't my kofos. I don't have the lo lechach no tzarti. I don't have the kofos to deal with that. There's lots of important and wonderful things to be done in life, and that doesn't necessarily mean that that a person is roly to undertake any and every such important and wonderful endeavor. But that's what Mordechai is telling us to know, but if you recognize that for this moment, the Baruch Hu put you here for this moment, so then a person can't think that that he's inadequate to the challenge of the moment. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote Edis Fon. We have Shari Tshuva in its entirety, but Rabbeinu Yonah wrote more than that. He had a similar work that we don't have in its entirety on Shari Yira. Now, that's what the phrase Min HaTshuva is here, because otherwise, B'Shar HaRishon, what else is he talking about? No, this was, Shari HaTshuva, I think, was part of a series. And that's what he's referring to here, B'Shar HaRishon, Min HaTshuva. The Inyan Emes Shehizkir, when Shlomo Melech says, B'Chesed Ve'Emes Yechupa Ovan, what does Emes refer to? Be'uro Sheyochen HaChotei Libo, L'chazek yidei ha'emes. V'lazor l'mevakshe emuna u'lehoser ha'shekeh v'ha'ever. Ki hodos ha'emes ve'hashiva le'bitzaron kvod elokim ki'inyan she'ne'emar dod din oni ve'evyon oz tov halohi hadas osi. V'ne'ema avot ve'hashake b'mirma Me'anu das osi, because of their trickery, because of their deceitfulness, thereby me'anu das osi. When a person is devoted, dedicated to Emes, that devotion, that dedication is rooted in Torah. He's devoted, he's dedicated to Emes. So that serves as the source of Kiddush Hashem. sometimes I think the English idiom, at least American English, I don't know if it's idiom, encourages it. We measure the, I don't know, the immorality of falsehood by what's at stake. We talk about little lies and big lies, and white lies and black lies, and but that sort of reduces a commitment to Minas HaEmes to being something which is very pragmatic. If the significance of a lie is sort of measured by its fallout, okay, so then there's white lies and black lies and there's little lies and big lies. A person is supposed to be committed to Midas HaEmes because it's Emes, regardless of what the fallout or the consequences of the sheker would be. Even Lo Yetzuya, there are no consequences. The person is supposed to be committed to Midas HaEmes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'mir Ma'men U'das Osik, that there are sort of some situations where I guess maybe out of this mindset, I don't know, however it happened, but maybe for some other reason, not this mindset, where sheker is the norm. If the message on the voicemail says I'll call you back as soon as possible, I don't know. That's a very exacting standard to measure up to with every single message. Wow. Okay, maybe people do it. Maybe I'm not gonna do it, but it's not easy. Not easy to do, I would imagine. Sometimes you have a scenario of parents on the phone and the child wants something and the parents are in the middle of the conversation. So they tell them just one minute, I'll be off the phone in a minute. What do you mean be off the phone in a minute? You've been on the phone 20 minutes, you know you're going to be on the phone for 40 minutes. It's not just 1 minute. So either, I don't know, there's certain... There's no such thing as a harmless sheker, because what's wrong about sheker is that it's sheker. It's not. The consequences compound what's wrong about it. That's not what's wrong about it. What's wrong about sheker is that it's sheker. The consequences compound it. It's not only sheker, but it's also damaging. It's also this. It's also that. Many years ago, when we were making the mitzvah suda for our youngest son, So we got a response card in the mail, which was Nifla. So usually the response card says, yes, coming, no, or no, I can't come. So this response was from one of my sons, Rebbeim, a few years earlier in elementary school. So he wrote, it would be very difficult for me to come. I'm not coming. He doesn't say I can't come. Well, he could have come. He could have, you're moving enough pieces around. The very thing that one can't do in life, there's some things that one can't do in life. If you're not supposed to do something, it's appropriate to say I can't do it if it's wrong to do. But if a person, if it's tremendously inconvenient, if it's a person can do it. That's what he does. I was so impressed and so appreciative of the Midas Amos. He didn't say I can't come. He said, it will be very difficult for me to come. So please forgive me that I won't be coming. But emes is not only in words. We've been giving examples in speech and words, but emes is in actions also. If a person's hired to do a job, so it's also a question of being emes. That's lazu and rakshe emuna, lohasa sheker and ovel. That's why sheker and ovel, they're two sides of a coin. Emes is also in actions. A person is hired to do a job. If he cuts corners on the job, then that's also a sheker. Also a shaker. It's again. It's to be a shaker within a din of mamonos as well. But leaving aside the din of mamonos for the moment, it's also a bechina of shaker. Person commits to do A, B, and C. Lo sishavu v'shmei la shaker means when according to some, it refers to lahavah as well. It means a person says he's going to do something and he doesn't do it. He says, I won't do something, and he doesn't. So emes and sheker are yardsticks by which not only to measure speech, but by which we should measure action as well. Okay.